Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been thinking together and studying together from the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We, in fact, have just finished the book of 1 Thessalonians, and in this lesson, we will be beginning the book of 2 Thessalonians. Now, we note a number of things about these books. First of all, they are part of a series of books called the Travel Epistles, the book of Galatians, the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. Now, these were written during Paul's travels, his missionary journeys, in other words, we call them. He started the first one in 45 A.D. It went for about 2 years until 47 A.D. to the region of Galatia. And then he started his second one in about 50 A.D. after he had gone down to the Council of Jerusalem in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. And on this second missionary journey, he finally goes across Asia, stops first in Galatia, goes across Asia, and is led by God in Acts chapter 16 to go into Europe and to reach Macedonia in the north, go down to Athens in the center part of that eastern side of Europe, and finally down to the city of Corinth. And so his second journey is mainly concentrated in Europe itself. And then on his third journey, he goes back to the city of Ephesus especially. Now, he visits other cities. He goes back to Macedonia. He probably goes back to Corinth again. But he mainly concentrates his efforts for more than 2 years in the city of Ephesus. And this was in a very important city there on the western side of Asia, down in the southwest side of Asia, a very important city. And later it would be used by God to reach many other areas for the gospel. Even in Paul's day, it was used by God to reach Colossae and Laodicea and these other cities over there to the east of Ephesus. And so we're studying from these books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and we just completed 1 Thessalonians. We noted the outline of 1 Thessalonians could have the title, Keeping a Worthy Walk Before God and Man. And we studied through this, of how these people were highly commended by God. They were living a worthy life before God. They simply needed a few instructions concerning doctrine, also a few instructions concerning the Christian life. But they were going on with the Lord. They were devoted to the Lord. They simply had not had much teaching. Paul had not been able to spend much time with them, although he had left Silas and Timothy with them. Nevertheless, he hadn't had much time with them. And so they do need some doctrinal instruction and also instruction in going on in the Christian life. And now we have come to 2 Thessalonians, and I want to take this particular lesson just introduce this book to you. In other words, when was it written and what are the main themes of the book? And then a very brief look at the outline, and perhaps we can just very briefly read the first few verses. And in fact, I want to do that right now. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read just the first four verses of this passage. I doubt that we'll get to these in this lesson, but we may just briefly touch on them. Let's begin with chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is proper, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, I want to stop our reading right there. But let's go back now, and let's just introduce this book of 2 Thessalonians a little bit with you. Now, we noted before, when we studied 1 Thessalonians, that 1 Thessalonians was written in 52 A.D. Paul was on his missionary journeys, and he wrote this epistle in 52 AD, probably from Ephesus, at the beginning of his third missionary journey, let me put it that way. And now the Apostle Paul is going to write a second time to these Thessalonians. This is written probably 1 year later, in 53 AD. And so in 52 and 53 AD, Paul writes these two epistles. Now, this book indicates that Paul had received some word back from the believers in the church or some of his co-workers concerning several of the problems in the church. And this news motivated him by the Spirit of God, of course. He's inspired by the Spirit of God in each of his epistles. But it motivated him to write again with further instructions and exhortations to them concerning how they were to follow certain doctrines and how they would deal with the problems. Now, this was not a great problematic church. In other words, it was not a church that had many problems. When you study Corinthians, especially 1 Corinthians, you were dealing with a church that was filled with problems, all kinds of problems, moral problems, problems of unity, problems of dissatisfaction with each other in other ways, problems at the Lord's table, everything you can imagine the Corinthian church had. The church in Thessalonica was not like that. These Thessalonians were spiritual people. But in their church, and we're going to see this especially in chapter 3, there were some who were causing trouble. There were some who were stirring up various kinds of strife in the church. And so some of these problems had to be dealt with, including a little bit of doctrine. So again, it was not a bad church. It was not a church that was rebellious against God. But now as we come to 2 Thessalonians, he simply is having to deal with some of these matters. So, again, it appears that this epistle was written just 1 year after he wrote 1 Thessalonians. And so the date would be about 53 A.D. Now, I want to say for a few moments, about the emphasis and major themes of 2 Thessalonians. I mention only two of these major themes. The main emphasis of this epistle is the emphasis upon standing fast in the truth they have been taught, and taking a stand against those who would deny or distort that truth, either by teaching or by disobedient conduct. And then the second theme, he wants them to receive from the Lord the true and full assurance of their future hope and the full reward for their worthy walk before God and man. So I think that we could give this a title, in fact. If we were to outline the book, we could give it the title, The Future Hope and Rewards for Those with a Worthy Walk Before God and Man. And then, of course, a third theme would be the correction of brethren in the church who may be causing trouble, brethren who are not what they should be, and even brethren who need to be disciplined by the church. Now, that's a subject we'll come to in chapter 3, because the subject of church discipline is a very, very important subject for our day. But there are two major themes, and then you could say the third one is also there, the idea of dealing with the problems in the church, troublesome brethren. Now let's go down to the outline of the book, and we'll be following this outline as we go through the book. I'll try to note the parts of the outline in each section that we study from 2 Thessalonians. So again, the title of the book could be The Future Hope and Rewards for Those with a Worthy Walk Before God and Man. Now you notice, both in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that the phrase worthy walk is in our outline. In 1 Thessalonians, it was keeping a worthy walk before God and man, and then this one is emphasizing the future hope and rewards for those with a worthy walk before God and man. So the word worthy walk is very important, and I want to emphasize the word worthy. In various passages, he'll speak, for instance, worthy of the Lord, worthy of the gospel, worthy walk. He uses this word worthy. And what does the word worthy indicate? It indicates the idea of pleasing to God, of living lives and taking a stand for God that God accepts and God is pleased with, God is happy with, God approves of, in other words, and God would commend us for. And so this idea of worthy is used in spiritual ways. Now, we use the word worthy, of course, in very common use today, but this is used in spiritual ways, especially in our relationship with God Himself. And so this should be our goal, that our lives would be worthy before God. Now, let's take this very, very carefully. In ourselves, we are not worthy, but with the help of God, with the salvation we possess, and being born again by the Spirit of God, and with the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives, we can live worthy lives before God. Now, in myself, I am not worthy. Before I was saved, I was a hopeless, lost sinner, and no work that I do in myself, that is, makes me worthy. But in the Lord Jesus, I can have a worthy walk before God. I hope you see the difference between the two. With the indwelling Holy Spirit, and in my relationship with the Lord Jesus, as now born again by the Spirit of God, I can live a worthy life before God, a life that God approves of. Now, we're not going to be perfect. I want to emphasize this truth again and again. We're not going to be perfect in our Christian lives, in spite of what some people might teach. We are not going to be sinlessly perfect. But nevertheless, we can live worthy lives. So whenever sin comes into our lives, whenever we fail spiritually in some way, we confess it before God. We get right with God. And then we go ahead and we live the lives that God wants us to live. Now, very briefly, let me just go down through this outline with you. First of all, in the first section, when we take the book, of course, the introduction is verses 1 and 2, but in the first section, chapter 1, verse 3 to chapter 3, verse 16, you'll notice, first of all, they have gained God's approval of their lives. In other words, He commends them. Remember, He started out 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in the same way. In fact, most of the chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is devoted to commendation. What a wonderful thing this was. There's no other book quite like it, except perhaps the book of Philippians, where He commends the Philippians again and again and again in Philippians 1 and in Philippians chapter 4. You're going to see this commendation repeated again and again. And this is true here in 1 Thessalonians and in 2 Thessalonians. Even very briefly, they have gained God's approval in their lives. And then, also in chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, God will distinguish them from those afflicting them. In other words, there's a difference between the Christians who are afflicted and those who are doing the afflicting. The unsaved were afflicting them. People stood against them. They hated them. They hated the Lord Jesus. They hated the gospel. They hated the truth of the gospel. And so they were afflicting God's people. They could not get at Jesus Himself, but they could afflict the people of God, the followers of the Lord Jesus. And so He indicates that God would judge those who are afflicting them. Even though they might feel, you know, why does God let this happen? Why does God let this happen in my life? Why doesn't God stop them? No, God has His day when He will deal with these people who hate the gospel, who turn against the Lord Jesus Christ. He will judge them. Eternally, He will judge them. And they will be punished. They will be brought to task, in other words, for their sins. And then the next passage, verses 11 and 12, God is able to fulfill all His desires in their lives. The last two verses of chapter 1, God is able to fulfill all His desires in their lives. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, there's a section, God gives understanding and hope to them of the coming of Christ while judging those who deny or who distort the truth. Now, I don't want to go into this with you now, but we note in our day, and in that day, there were many who were denying or distorting the truth. Both of these things are sinful before God. We'll be dealing with this as we study the book. Then in verses 13 to 15, He talks about their motivations in standing firm for Him. They have strong motivation in standing firm for Him because of God's choosing of them in salvation. Motivations in the Christian life are very important to us. 2 Corinthians 5 deals with motivation. If you were to take chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, clear down to chapter 6, verse 2, you're going to see the motivations that caused Paul to go on for the Lord in spite of persecutions and sufferings that he went through. And so in this case, it's God's choosing of them in salvation that is our main motivation. Then verses 16 and 17, he has a benedictory prayer. We've talked of benedictions before, and I'll be dealing with this particular prayer with you when we come to it. And then chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, he talks about their prayer support and how important this prayer support of himself was to him. In other words, he needed their prayer support. Now, of course, he had prayed for them, prayed countless times for them, prayed constantly, night and day for these Thessalonian believers. But he also needed their prayer, needed them to uphold him. Remember, we closed 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with this idea of his plea for them, brethren, pray for me. Brethren, pray for me. In other words, lift me up before God. I need your prayer just as you need my prayer. And then, chapter 3, verses 7 to 15, the cleansing of the church through discipline of sinning members. And this is taught. Now, this is a subject we don't like to talk about. Sometimes pastors and deacons fear to do any discipline in the church, no matter what the sin of members might be. They fear to do it for fear of losing members and so forth. But subject of discipline is very, very important. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 5 in a previous study, and now we're going to see it in other books as well. And then he closes in verse 16 with another benedictory prayer, where he prays again for them, praying for peace in all circumstances. And then he comes down to the conclusion, a final blessing for them, and he finishes off the book. So this is the outline of 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking into this as we go deeper and deeper into this book. So it's my prayer as we study through this book of 2 Thessalonians, first of all, that you will follow it just as diligently as some of you have followed the study of 1 Thessalonians. I pray that you will have a hunger for the Word of God, not because I'm teaching it, but simply because I'm teaching the Word of God itself. And I'm going to stick as closely to the text of the book as possible. In other words, I don't want my own ideas to creep in. I want simply you to study the Word of God with me in this study. So as we studied 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go through 2 Thessalonians in the same way, a bit slowly and a bit carefully, but we want to go through this book. May the Lord help you to go on in the study of His Word, but also to go on in obeying His Word in every way. May the Lord bless you, each one.